Episode.
We're going? We're on.
99, right?
99?
I'm pretty sure we ended off at 98.
Okay, 99.
Before the Christmas holidays.
Almost triple digits.
You had a good Christmas, dude?
I had a pretty good Christmas. I can't complain too much. I didn't have to travel too much. So that
you didn't have to go to Shreveport, did you?
That was for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That was for Thanksgiving. I think I was technically supposed to go to Shreveport for Christmas, but I got out of that. I got out of that situation.
We have to go to Shreveport for Carter's gymnastics, like at the 20th something of this month.
They have their little event center is actually pretty big.
I wonder if it's the same event center that Kaylee did her graduation at.
It's like downtown, kind of?
Maybe. It's been a while. She did her MBA through LSU Shreveport online, and then she wanted to go walk in her cap and gown when she got done with it. And I remember going, that's the only time I've ever been to Shreveport is that one
really?
Time.
That's it?
I've never really, that's the only one time.
I guess that's crazy to me because
well, you
I
have family
so many
there,
times, yeah.
But I mean, there's no reason for me to go in North Louisiana, to be honest. I mean, everything you really need is on the I-10, you know, west and eastbound, south side of Louisiana. I mean, North Louisiana really doesn't have a whole lot
to
do.
You're not really going to Shreveport for a vacation.
No. Well, there's no reason to go up there. And so that was the only, we went up there one time so she could do the graduation. And I don't remember where it was, but it was a nice little convention center.
Yeah, over I remember. I think my brother had his wrestling state championship over there.
Up there in Shreveport.
So like, I just remember it being like kind of like our downtown vibe, just like way bigger buildings mm-hmm. and just nicer looking.
They say I think crime over there is pretty bad, isn't it?
It is not the best. We stay at a hotel for when Heidi did Wad Gods.
Okay.
And so it's like February. We stayed at a hotel, and it is my fault for booking the hotel because to me, all the hotels are the same. Like, I just see white and green, and but apparently there's like three different white and green hotels. And of course, I picked the cheap one, so I picked mm-hmm. the worst one.
Sure.
And so we're like on the side of an interstate. We walk in.
Dude.
As soon as we walk into the hotel, it smells horrendous. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, this is not okay already. And then it's probably like 11:30 that night. And we start hearing people screaming at each other in the parking lot. And so I'm peeking out the window, watching this whole thing go down. There's like six or seven people. They're fighting. All right. At one point, someone tells them to pull a gun out. And we're like, Sydney's calling 911 in the bathroom. Right. And I'm watching.
She's hiding in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, she's hiding in the bathroom. She's like, I cannot go to sleep. I cannot watch it. But I wanted to see everything that goes down, you know. And so I'm watching it all, and eventually they end up leaving. Cops never show up either. And so I can't imagine what happens over there.
That sounds like, so I was in college when I qualified for my first regional in San Antonio. This is 2012. And, you know, obviously being a broke college kid, you're trying to find the cheapest hotel you can find.
Mm-hmm.
And found a Motel 6 for like $80 a night, you know. And it was on the side of an interstate in San Antonio, and I remember walking into that room and like, oh my God, like brown carpet,
yep.
like thin brown carpet. Like you can feel like the concrete underneath the carpet. It's so thin. And like the brown covers as well that are like paper thin.
Dude, I was about to say this.
The lights have like that weird fluorescent blue color.
Yeah, it's not
color.
Even white light. It's like a faded yellow light.
You know what's bad is when you go to check in and there's bars at the check-in.
Oh, no.
You know, like, you have to, like, slide your card underneath the window to the clerk to get checked in for the hotel. You know you're in a real classy place.
Well, I knew our situation was going to be bad because as soon as we walked in, it was late at night. It was, like, 11:30 when we got in, and we were starving. And we were like, oh, it's going to be a hotel. We're going to be able to get some sort of, like, snack or food at the hotel. Mm-hmm. No snacks, no food. And we're like, oh, boy, man. And then I just remember getting to the hotel room and laying in the bed, and the bed sheets felt like a shower curtain, like that plastic, like, it's not even a bed sheet, it's like a plastic cover, and I'm like, oh, this is not gonna.
It's like, if you could just find a black light, there'd probably like blood all over the walls.
Dude,
and
I don't even know what that looked like.
It kind of, I remember there's also one time me and Kaylee took a vacation. We went to Chicago for a couple of days for our anniversary, and we were coming back from Chicago. We were supposed to fly from Chicago, I think either to Dallas or Houston, and then Houston back to Lake Charles, whatever it may be. Well, there was really bad weather in Chicago when we went to leave. So I think we stayed like on the tarmac for like an hour in Chicago. And then there was also bad weather in Dallas, and we had to circle over Dallas for like 2 or 3 hours. We had to go to Tulsa stop to get gas for the plane and then go back. So all in all, the flight was supposed to take, I think, maybe 2 hours. Ended up lasting like 6 hours. And obviously we missed our connecting flight. We didn't get into Houston, I think, until like midnight, 1 in the morning. And so they, from there, you can go rent a car, which everybody's renting a car. So renting a car is rent. Or they basically stipend you a hotel for the night and you can come back tomorrow and get a connecting flight the next day. And of course, they give you the cheapest hotel. Like, it's like relatively close to the airport. Once again, a Motel 6 one. I remember Kaylee literally slept on top of the blankets because she was so disgusted of where we were. And those have been some bad hotel experiences for
Needless
sure.
to say, I am not in charge of any hotel room.
From now on. Were you thinking it was like one of those Holiday Inns because it's like green and white?
So I think Heidi and them stayed in the nicer white one. I don't know. Maybe that's the Hilton or...
Is there a Marriott? I don't know the colors anymore.
Whichever the nice one is, they stayed in. And they told us which one. And all I remembered was white and green. I didn't remember the name. And so there was like 3 white and green ones. And so I just picked the cheapest one. And it turned out not to be the best.
They tricked you.
Yeah. So. But it is okay.
But anyway, so just a reminder as well, even though I'm making a lot of posts in the groups about it, Consistency Over Everything Challenge starts Monday, technically, is the start of the challenge. We do have that class on Saturday. This is that watch, by the way.
I was looking at it. It looks just like an Apple Watch.
$30. $30 on Amazon. Now, it's definitely, when you go to use it, you're like, this is definitely not an Apple Watch.
Okay.
You can definitely tell it's $30 watch, but it does what I need it to do.
Right.
And so, but anyways, got... class on Saturday at 10:30 after the regular class schedule. That'll last about an hour. We'll also do it for you guys who can't make it a Facebook Live in the group during the class. It's just a good opportunity for you guys to get enough information to set yourself up on the right path to start off the challenge. And then obviously the actual challenge will start on the 8th and run for that 6-week period, which will technically run during the strength block that we're going to talk about here today. I made a post in the members group today about this a little bit, but I do think it's a good opportunity to kick some of you guys into gear a little bit.
Yeah.
Because me and Kay were having this conversation yesterday, and we'll talk about this a little bit today on the podcast. I guess this will kind of be like the front part of the podcast, and the back half will be more geared towards like the cycle, I guess, the strength cycle for the back half of January here. But obviously, Kels have, and you know, same thing with me. You know, you have a pool of people definitely coming to you and saying like lack of motivation and things like that. And I do think the challenge is a great opportunity to get you guys into gear and quote unquote get that spark going. Because I think one of the biggest things when you're quote unquote lacking motivation to get to the gym or whatever it may be, the act of showing up and having some type of purpose to a degree can help rekindle that fire and then lead you to the path eventually or where you want to go. But a lot of times you just got to get on the path and just kind of figure out as you go along.
Start doing it.
Yeah. Right? And it's a good opportunity to have a like laid out program to a degree and that you'll kind of get information through the process. And I'm going to try to do my best, even though there's a good amount of people in the challenge now, I'm going to try to do my best to hold you guys accountable. Meaning the idea that I have in my head, which I don't know if I've ran this by you, is you do have that habit tracker sheet. Mm-hmm. And the idea being is each individual week or in a weekly post, everybody will post their picture of their habit tracker.
Okay.
Anybody who doesn't post it will obviously be getting some
getting
type
text
of
message.
Text message or message of some kind is the idea. Now, obviously, there's a good amount of people, so I can't worse than agree – commit to everything, like missing, there might be some people that fall through the cracks.
Is it over 70 now?
Yeah, I want to say it's creeping up to 80 now, 80 or so people. So, I mean, it's a lot of people to keep track of. But that's the idea behind it, is to try to get you guys to have accountability in the process. Regardless if you complete all the tasks or not, it's an opportunity for you to at least see visually how consistent or inconsistent that you're being. And sometimes you can kind of open your eyes like, oh man, I thought I was a lot more consistent than when I was. And apparently I'm not.
Yeah.
And now I know what I need to do to take the next step forward, on my fitness journey. Because I think sometimes that's what sometimes can feel like burnout maybe sometimes is when you feel like you're doing something repetitively but not getting the result that you want. Mm-hmm. You kind of feel like you're just kind of spinning your wheels in the same place over and over and over again. And, you know, sometimes you can feel like you're doing everything that you can. You're saying you're doing all these things when in actuality you're not doing everything in your power you probably could.
When you could see somebody else maybe doing more. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying, like that and seeing it visually like on a piece of paper, right? So you can say, oh, well, I eat relatively healthy or I work out pretty consistently. And then when you actually start tracking it with like a piece of paper or on an app and you go back and look at, you know, last week and the previous week, you're like, oh shit, I'm not as consistent as I thought I was. I think you maybe have like this little period of, well, I was really good this week, right? And you kind of ride that high for a couple of weeks, even though the week after that and the week after that, you're not as consistent, but you're still resorting back to the 2 weeks prior that you worked out four times.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll work out pretty consistently. But the last 2 weeks, you only worked out once each week.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not consistent enough with what maybe you're after, what you're striving for, potentially, right? That's not.
That makes sense. That's, I feel like that's majority of people's. They're probably like consistent for a week and then you might follow for the next week and then you might get back on track. So I like that.
The consistently inconsistent factor, right? Because everybody always says, like, well, I work out pretty often or I eat pretty good. Well, that's very subjective, right? We're trying to give you guys an actual metric to go off of to say, if you're matching these things, you can then have the right to say, you are working out often, you are eating well, and so on and so on and so forth. Because if you say you eat well and I say I eat well, those terms can be completely different based off our needs. Just like when somebody says, you know, well, I make a lot of money. Well, that could be for somebody who's a billionaire. That might be like, oh, you don't really make that much money, dude. And so it varies from person to person. But we'd had this conversation a little bit, and we didn't know really where we wanted to go with the dialogue on this podcast when it came to this particular topic. Because it is a touchy subject, right? Because you do have people that have came to us who, like you said, are maybe lacking motivation or you know, finding a hard time being consistent in the gym and things like that. And we kind of want to do maybe a brief section on this podcast and maybe kind of addressing those things, right? And obviously, everybody's situation is maybe a little different than one another, right? Like this person's motivation, winning of motivation maybe has to do with like relationship in their life. This person might be has to do with more like financial. This person might have to do with work, or this person has a family member or whatever it may be that's necessarily weighing on them. And in any situation that I can possibly think of, not taking care of your health is probably not beneficial.
Probably one of the worst things, right?
It's probably one of the worst things you can possibly do for your mental and physical health.
Like all that's going to do, man, is it's just going to bring you down even more, to be honest.
Even worse, right? Like I understand like these things might be draining on you, right? Like physically and emotionally where you're like, I don't have the energy and wherewithal to go to the gym. But that's kind of contradictory to the whole entire process, right? Like I'm not saying you're going to go in there and like have PRs and have your best scores possible. And I think maybe that's sometimes where people cannot want to come to the gym because they're lacking the energy and the emotional bandwidth to get to the gym. They know their performance is going to suffer.
Sure.
Right. And because of that, they don't want to go to the gym. Right. And that's an example, like you're either kind of one of those pools or the other. I think you either, you're not wanting to go to the gym because you feel like you're not going to perform now,
sure,
or you're just not wanting to go to the gym just because you just don't want to go to the gym. And once again, I don't think in any case of those scenarios is that beneficial to you just not to do anything physically for your emotional health and your physical health, obviously. And I'm not saying you got to sit there and set all these quote unquote goals. I think just the simplistic act of getting out of breath, sweating a little bit, being around other like-minded individuals and having a good time while fucking doing it is pretty fucking simple that you should want to seek out on a regular basis, right? I'm not saying that you got to come in here and fucking do black workouts where you got to fucking crush 225-pound snatches.
Sure.
Come to the gym. Enjoy the process that you're here and you're moving your body and you're sweating, regardless of what that fucking outcome looks like. Regardless of, give whatever effort you can give that day And it might not be, and you know, in your back of your head, maybe it's like, on a peak day, it's like 60% of my best effort. Sure. Who gives a shit?
Get here. Just be here.
Just getting your feet inside the door is so much of the battle. But once you get here and you get into the process, not very often that you get done afterwards with a workout and you're like, oh shit, I probably shouldn't have came.
Sure.
You know, like this was a bad idea, unless you're like sick or something like that. But like more often than not, you're like, this was a bad idea to show up.
I think sometimes people forget, like when they get into this funk, or like they get into whatever you want to call the funk, like you most likely, you probably started coming to the gym, whether it was this gym or a different gym, because you needed an outlet, right? That normally, like, I mean, if you ask a majority of the people in the gym, a lot of times it's their hour to just kind of let go and forget about things. And then I think when you get in that funk, I think you almost forget about that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think just getting back and like kind of like you're saying, is like getting moving and just getting here. And I think the cool thing about CrossFit is like you have the community to help you through those times, right? Yeah. Like kind of like you said with the class, you have people to enjoy your time, get to laugh, get to smile. And I think you forget about that, like when you're not here and you're not coming. But then once you show up again, you kind of get in the groove again. You're like, oh my God, this is why I'm here, right? And you start to reap the benefits of the community and of the exercise and getting it. And even if you look it up online, like one of the things that you're always going to see on things to help you get out of the funk is exercise. It's physical activity, right? It might not say working out, but it's going to say physical activity. It's going to say get outside. It's going to say get your heart rate up. And I think all those things are going to help you kind of almost remember why you started in the first place, to get you going, get the ball rolling again.
To rekindle that.
Yep.
Right. And I think so people get super wrapped up in the motivational aspect. I just don't have any motivation, right? Well, that's like, motivation is always going to be fleeting, right? There's always going to be ebbs and flows throughout your years of your life that you're going to be more motivated to take care of your fitness than others, right? Like, you're probably a lot more motivated to take care of your health when you're 22 and you're single and you're trying to look good on the beach. Sure. There's a lot of motivation there. Like, even though it's maybe a shallow reason, but that's a lot of motivation for you at the time when you're young,
yeah,
right? Compared to when you're 35 or 45 and you're married, you have a full-time job, you have, you know, three kids to take care of. Like, you've kind of now, quote unquote, like settled in.
Do you think it's because people get too comfortable? And then it just gets, you get too far gone at that point, right? Like, you're getting so comfortable that you put it off, you put it off, you put it off, and then you look in the mirror and you're like,
well, I think that's for people who obviously don't take care of their fitness, sure, in the first place, right? I think that's for people who don't currently come to the gym. And that's probably the majority of the population, where they're just kind of comfortable, they're set in now. Health is not a short-term thing, mm-hmm, meaning, you know, like on a daily basis, you're putting out fires, right? You have like all these immediate tasks that have to be done that day. Health, a lot of times for most people, isn't something that has to be done that day.
Sure.
Right? Like me working out today is not going to really make me feel any different tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not going to fix my health tomorrow. Right? I'm not going to work out today and go do my blood work tomorrow, and it's going to be tremendously better after one workout. But it's obviously the compounding aspect of that. Working on the long-term stuff first, and then working on the short-term stuff thereafter, right? But for most people, it's not on the horizon. It's not the very first thing they think of. I think for people who are, for instance, let's say maybe you're inside of a gym routine and you have these ebbs and flows, like I said, like maybe you're just like in a funk and you're like, you kind of got a little bit out of routine, especially during the month of December. It's a lot easier for people to kind of get into that funk, so to speak, where their routines are thrown off, right? Also, we have like gym closures, things are like closed down, like you're not as consistent with your workout routine. And kind of like Trevor put it yesterday, for some people, you know, Christmas is meant to be like this joyful, wonderful time, right? And if it's not that time for you, where you don't feel like it's a joyful one for time, it can be one of the worst times of the year for some people, right? And so in doing so, I think a lot of times people seek more comfort, I guess, during those periods, right? Where What I mean by that is sometimes people can, I don't know the proper word because I'm not a damn psychiatrist, right? Is they seek comfort through, it could be like social media. Mm-hmm. It could be so like comfort through eating more food. It could be comfort through drinking alcohol, doing drugs, hanging out maybe a crew of people you probably shouldn't be hanging out with, whatever it may be. But you're seeking some type of comfort to escape, you know, potential pain reality that you're going through at the time, right? And that's where maybe that funk kind of comes into play. Not for everybody, but I'm just saying for some people. And once again, seeking comfort, more often than not, is never advantageous mm-hmm. for getting out of shit, right? It's like, at the end of the day, when you're in that kind of funk, you're in like in a dungeon, right? But you hold the key to get out,
sure.
right? That's only, a good only you can pull yourself out of that hole. Nobody else can do it for you, right? And at the end of the day as well, like happiness is a choice for everybody, mm-hmm. right? Like everybody's got shit going on in their life, right? Everybody's got problems, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, only you can choose your actions and choose if you want to be happy through, even though there might be times that's easier than others, right? Like if you make, you know, $3 million a month and you never have to work and things like that, you can do whatever, however you want to do what you want to do it. Like, sure, you have probably not a whole lot of worries to worry about, right? But that's like the 0.001%, right? Sure. There's a lot of people with a lot of shit going on, and you can either, you know, find that happiness and choose to be happy and work your way through it, or you don't, right? And as a coach, it's a tough line to kind of to walk on, because obviously you want to be sympathetic to people and be understanding, right? Because everybody does have shit going on. But at the same time, your job also as a coach is to maybe tell people things they don't want to hear sometimes. And at the end of the day, like, you got to quit being a bitch and you got to show up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's point blank. Like, it's mean, it's kind of rude, and it's kind of dicky to say, but it's true in a lot of aspects, right? I know some people are like, well, that's not helpful to tell somebody who's maybe mentally struggling now to quit being a bitch and just show up. But that's the only way through.
Yeah.
Like, the hardest thing a lot of times is going through the shit and getting through the other side. But the only way at the end of the day is fucking through.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Like, there's no getting around it. Like, you're not going to pity paddle. You got to get through it some way or the other. And like I said, taking care of your physical health can help a lot more mental benefits than anything else. And so don't put so much pressure on yourself to come to the gym and perform or worry about what anybody else is going to say because you hadn't shown up to the gym, or, you know, why is Joe over there doing 20-pound dumbbells? He normally does 35-pound dumbbells. Like, what's the problem with him? Like, those things are going to happen, but you got to let those things go and, like, come in here and just fucking have a good time. Like, put whatever effort you got today, give whatever good effort you got that day, and just have a good time, do it, and then come back tomorrow and show back up again, right? And if you do that on a long enough timeline, you're going to find your footing again and rekindle that spirit to get back into your fitness level routine. But I do think there's definitely that funk that people kind of gotten over the last, like, December timeframe for a good amount of people, where they haven't quite shaken it yet. And they're still trying to figure out, you know, what are they going to do for the next, you know, few months. And, but it was just something that we wanted to kind of, like, bring up and kind of talk about a little bit. And hopefully that maybe kind of, you know, gives some of you guys a little bit of kick in the ass and get back in here.
I know it's kind of cheesy, but I always think about the Rich Froning thing, Into the Storm. Have you ever said, like,
yeah, like the buffalo, thing, the buffalo thing. Yeah.
And if you don't know what that is, it's pretty much like if a bison's like in the wild and there's a storm coming, right? It's not going to just sit there and it's not going to go around the storm. It pretty much goes head on to the storm, right? And so it's the quickest way in, it's the quickest way out.
Exactly. Right? And that's what she said.
Hey-o. But, I mean, I always think about it like that, and it kind of, like, helps me get through some things. But hopefully y'all got something out of that right there.
And I know that's a little bit more, like, blunt and not... We're not fucking psychologists at the end of the day, right? Like, we're not professionals in this field. But I do know at the end of the day, you know, like, and I'm not saying I think everybody has, they can take their moment to kind of sulk and feel bad for themselves and kind of be in that mood for like a short period of time. But at the end of the day, you got to pull yourself out of it. Yeah. Nobody else can do that. And you got to,
at a certain point, you're doing more harm than good.
You got to get through, and you got to get back, and you got to get back on your feet, and you got to get kind of pull yourself out of that mud and get going again. And regardless if you feel like it or you don't feel like it, you got to do it anyways, right? Like there's a lot to be said for somebody, that just kind of does some shit they don't want to do a lot, you know, this. And I think over a period of time, you build that resilience to doing on a long enough timeline, and then it just becomes more natural. And then it's just a repetitive habit that you do over and over.
And I think, like, if you look back from a month, like, let's say you're in something right now, you're in a funk right now, and you fast forward a month, month and a half, 2 months later, you're probably going to be happy that you started it, right? I don't think you're going to look back and say, oh, I regret going back to the gym, or I regret getting out of this funk. Like, you gotta move your foot forward to get this going. Like, yeah. You're not going to be able to just stand still and hope that it passes.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, man. And like sometimes it can get under my skin more than others when you kind of hear people kind of use that terminology and whatnot. You know, especially here as of late, you know, the past like couple months, because like, for instance, my mom was going through cancer treatment, mm-hmm. right? She had every excuse in the world to not fucking work out and not sure. be here and not put a smile on her face and be mopey and dopey. But she was in here multiple times of the week, smiling her face, mm-hmm. putting the work in, regardless of the circumstance that we really didn't know what was going to happen at the time. I mean, luckily everything worked out for the better. But at the time, like, there's a lot of unknown factors in here. And she had every reason to be, you know, sit on the couch and just be Debbie Downer and oh, woe is me. But she didn't choose that path, right? Like, and that's a choice, though, right? Like, she could say, well, I'm just not motivated, you know, because obviously with cancer treatments and having to go to Houston and things like that, like, she didn't fucking do any of that, right? And so it just, sometimes it just gets under my skin.
Makes you just want to grab somebody by the shoulders and just kind of shake them.
Like, this, like, you know, like the,
literally just like shake them.
What is like the Bugs Bunny thing where you take the white glove off and he slaps the face with the white glove? Like, that's the hard part, right? Because you don't want to piss people off too much, right? Because some people can really get upset when you kind of talk to them that way. And I understand, like, you kind of, like a football team, you treat each player a little bit differently. You know, people respond differently to different things. And I get that, right? But the thing is I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as well, where you can kind of take your own problems and be kind of like an isolationist to think like they're unique to you and only you. And I promise you, like, they're not unique to you by any means of the imagination. There's somebody going through the same exact shit you're going through, if not more, and people going through worse shit than you, who are still putting a smile on their face and going through the day. I'm not saying you got to fake it till you make it kind of deal, but, you know, you should have those opportunities to talk it out with things and, you know, work through stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, you just can't be going through life like that. You only got one life. Like, you know, why don't you try to be the best that you can be, regardless of what that outcome looks like.
Sure.
You know,
you're never gonna get that time back, man.
No. So hopefully we'll see you guys here in the next few weeks. Just keep showing up, and like I said, just come talk to us. You know, if you guys are lacking type of motivation, you find yourself kind of struggling to get to the gym, whatever it may be, come talk to us. We can help you guys out and kind of come up with a game plan to get you guys going forward. You know, try to set some type of routine with you guys. Like, hey, let's try to get to the gym X amount of times a week. We can do this X things, whatever it may be. And just having that communication with a coach can help out a ton, because we don't know what we don't know either.
Sure.
Right. And like, if you guys are struggling, that's something that we can help out. And especially we get in the middle of classes, like, hey, like, I know we've been doing blue for a while. I know we also have been having a little bit of a rough time. Like, let's just do orange for the next couple of weeks, and we'll kind of build on top of that. Let's just make sure we're showing up consistently. And like, having that person to, you know, come to on a regular basis that you've kind of opened up to can help out a ton as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So kind of switching gears up a little bit. So new strength block starts next week on Monday, January 8th, I believe it's through February 21st. So all in all, 7 weeks, 6 weeks of a training block, the seventh week being a max out.
Okay.
We got multiple different factors. We kind of threw in some benchmarks we'll be testing as well. So we got Karen on the docket.
Okay.
150 wall balls for time.
I like Karen.
You like Karen?
I like Karen. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I like Karen.
It's a love hate one.
Really?
I like it, but I hate it at the same time. It's one of those things where always pisses me off when my shoulders blow up during wall balls. Like that high volume.
It's always shoulders though, but then like after you finish
it's legs.
It's all legs.
Like it's just temporarily, like during the workouts, legs. It's shoulders, maybe a couple minutes after shoulders, and then probably about 5 minutes after you get done.
That lack of gas
feels. Your legs start blowing up the next day. Your legs are super sore. So 150 wall balls per time. If you guys have not done that, it's always a good one. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about strategies leading up to that. If you guys have done, obviously, Karen, maybe go back and look at some of those notes that you guys have done. There's multiple different ways to go about doing that. I think a lot of people have tried the 18 down to 7 technique. Yep.
Everybody likes that one.
A lot of people like.
I enjoy that one also.
Yeah, that one's not bad because it seems manageable chunks at a time. It's better than trying to hold like sets of 15 all the way through.
Yeah, you can even like combine numbers too, though. Like you can do like 18, 70 together, and then there's all kind of different ways.
Like, yeah, multiple different ways to go about doing that. Even doing like trying to do an EMOM style, or like, hey, I'm gonna try to do 15 wall balls every minute on the minute for the 10 minutes, and try to get under 10 minutes, whatever it may be. So that's one benchmark we'll be doing. Diane will be one of those things that. And that kind of ties in with the level method test, with the upper and lower body endurance test. So the goal being for the what I'm trying to say here, 2024 is to try to get into a little bit more level method testing with you guys as well. So make sure you're using the Chalk It Pro app to track that stuff and see how you're improving on that retrospect as well. What else? I got a hero workout coming up, which it's going to be a shorter hero workout. It's not going to be one of those long, drawn out hero workouts where it's like Murph, you're like 45, 50 minutes in. It's ideally going to be one that's going to be probably between the range of, 5 and 15 minutes in that range. And then we are going to do a repeat from Monday's workout.
Huh?
Monday's workout will be a repeat.
Past Monday?
No, this coming Monday.
Okay.
Which is a 10-minute AMRAP. Of 5 front squats at 135,
okay.
3 lateral burpees, 5 hang power cleans at 135, and then 3 lateral burpees. So 10-minute AMRAP, as many runs as possible. We'll repeat that at the towards of our strength cycle, especially for those guys who are doing the consistency or everything challenge. It's an opportunity for them, if they're being super consistent, to kind of see the fruits of their labor kind of pay off and see how they've improved over that 6-week time frame. So don't...
Don't sandbag it
either. Like, so go in there and give your best effort wherever that may be, but don't go in there saying, okay, well, I'm gonna bank in some reps so I can definitely
PR by 4 rounds.
That way I can definitely improve. Yeah, you do the workout, you get like 3 rounds. Yeah. Next time you do it, you get 8 rounds. So still put your best foot forward, and then after 6 weeks, we'll then retest that. And then when it comes to the actual level of the test, we talk about upper and lower body endurance will be one. Upper body push will be one as well, and then front squat being the third, which obviously will correlate with our strength cycle as well. So, which we'll kind of go into here with our, and also, well, that's not necessarily, it is kind of on the level of the test, but kind of not, because it's clean and jerk on the level of the test when it comes to weightlifting. But we have on Mondays will be front squats. So, our past previous strength cycle before we kind of got into the holidays, Mondays were back squats. Mm-hmm. And so, it was a good opportunity to kind of transition into front squats.
Everybody likes the squat.
They like it?
Yeah, they like it. At least the afternoon.
You like front squats more, though.
I always enjoyed front squats more.
See, I would much rather do a back squat.
I always felt like I hated back squats.
Even in wads, you prefer a front squat, don't you?
I do, but like, I don't, like I said, I hated back squat. Maybe because I'm more quad dominant, and like, my hamstrings and glutes were never the best.
Maybe so.
And so like, I just always remember back squats. If it was a workout strength piece, I'd be sore for like 4 days, dude.
Well, I feel like at least with a back squat, I can kind of rest at the top if I need to. See, I can't rest the top of the front squat.
I feel trapped on a back squat. Like I feel like my chest. Like I feel like I can't move. I feel like my chest can't open.
And you feel like you can't on a front squat?
I feel like
the opposite. I feel exactly really? What you're saying on a front squat. Dude,
I feel like I can just like roll my wrist or roll my fingers back and just like relax. But,
no.
Oh my god, no. I can't stand a back squat, man. It's up there with deadlifts to me.
Oh no. So it'll be a front squat. So the biggest difference between obviously the back squat and the front squat, the reason why you can normally lift more weight with a back squat compared to a front squat is because with the back squat, you can involve the glutes and hamstrings more, mm-hmm. kind of like you alluded to there. Compared to the front squat, which is a lot more quad dominant of a movement. Sure. Your glutes and hamstrings are involved. It's not like they're just shut off, but it's just, it's a lot more where the loading is on the body and more the anterior, the front side of the body. It puts more taxing on the quads and also on the midline. So you can't lift quite as much weight compared to you do the back squat. Now, the way we'll kind of progress that from week to week to week is it'll be more of a descending type piece. So We'll have, like, the first week will be like 6-6-3-3 with certain percentages correlated with that.
Okay.
And as we kind of progress through the weeks, we'll have descending volume of reps, but ascending percentages, obviously, so progressive overload over time, with one of those weeks actually being a deload week and then having to max out the following week. Something different we are doing on day two, though, is our strict presses. And we're combining that because, and the reason why we're doing it the way we're doing it right now is because with the upper body push test on level method, it's not just strict press. So,
not for everybody, yeah.
So believe at, what is it, purple? It starts with doing strict press based off your body weight, where you have to strict press X on your body weight. So it's one of those movements where it's not an absolute strength piece, it's more of a relative strength piece. So like so the front squat would be an absolute strength piece, meaning on low method test, it's just like, hey, you got to lift this amount of weight. When it comes to the upper body push test, which is a strict press or a push-up test, it's more of a relative strength piece, meaning how much can you strict press compared to your own body weight, right? So I think the highest level is it body weight strict press?
It's 0.75.
For the highest?
Yep.
Is that for girls?
Strict handstand push-ups.
Yeah, what's the highest at red though?
Yep, body weight.
So for instance, I think, is the girls as well as body weight?
Girls is, I'm blind as a bat.
Because that's a little bit of a smaller chart.
Yeah, 0.82.
Okay, so for guys, for instance, they must strict press their body weight. For girls, they must strict press 82% of their body weight to be at the highest level of that category, right? And obviously, it progresses down from there to an X amount percentage of your body weight. And then it goes to doing some type of handstand push-up or push-up variations.
Push-ups. Tabatas so, and then a number.
Yeah, so when we kind of decided that we were going to do strict press as one of the strength pieces with the level with the test, we wanted to make sure that we're including, for those guys who are doing the push-up test as well, an opportunity to improve upon that. And plus, it's still like an accessory movement to improve your strict presses anyways, right? So it's still that pressing the triceps, the shoulders, the chest. So the first 2 weeks of that cycle, we will have some quarter presses in with the strict press, right? So it allows you to improve that stretch reflex of that strict press, as well as it builds more time or tension and more volume, so to speak, without having to do full presses. So essentially, think of it, you would press the barbell up a quarter of the way up, so somewhere around chin nose level. You would then come back down and then do a full press, and that would be one rep, and you would do 5 reps of that at a certain percentage. And then we'll also pair that up with doing some Tabata push-ups throughout this process, and as well as some accessory work with some dumbbell skull crushers. So we're gonna kind of flip that from week to week. So 1 week will be Tabata push-ups, 1 week will be dumbbell skull crushers, next week Tabata push-ups, next week will be dumbbell skull crushers. And then after 2 weeks, something different we're gonna do as well is we'll transition from doing quarter reps into doing just descending reps like the front squats, but then also doing speed reps.
Okay.
So like for instance, on week 3, we would do a 5-4-3 strict press at certain percentages. And then you would back down to like 40-50% and then do 2 sets of 3 for speed reps.
Gotcha.
Right? So we think of always like lifting for like bench press or strict press or squatting as like more of a controlled movement to a degree. But implementing some speed reps, more so on the concentric portion of the movement, not necessarily the eccentric portion of the movement, can help work on those type 1 muscle fibers to help build some explosiveness in the lift itself, right? Because
it'll translate over to when we do max it out.
Yeah, if you can be more explosive through any lift, right, that can be beneficial, right? There's benefits to moving slow, but there's also benefits to moving fast. But with the speed movements, you have to be doing it at a really light weight. So the point being that you're not going to feel super taxed when doing them. You do it for a low amount of volume of reps with light weight. The whole entire purpose is to move the bar as quickly as possible with every single rep. You're still going to somewhat control it back down. It's not like you're like pulling it back down fast either. It's more of a fast up and kind of like a somewhat controlled down and then back fast up again. Because the strict press out of any movement in CrossFit is the hardest to PR.
It is tough, man.
It is so hard to PR your strict press. I think my first year of CrossFit, I think I may have said this before on the podcast, is I PR'd my back squat and my deadlift by 100 pounds my first year of CrossFit, and I PR'd my strict press by 5 pounds.
5 pounds?
5 pounds. Oh, and it's one of those movements, it's so hard to PR on. You can have people who've been struggling with the same strict press for years, 5, 6, 7 years. And so we're trying to change things up with you guys, and hopefully this can help spark some different muscle fibers to help potentially get that new PR on that strict press, okay, if possible. So then on Wednesdays, we'll transition to some power cleans, okay, which I know everybody likes their power
cleans.
Everybody
loves power
cleans. So. One thing we were kind of toying around with, which I decided I wasn't going to do because I'm like, I don't want to over-program, was as a skill piece, do freestanding handstand holds.
Oh, you're not going
to
do it? No.
I just felt like kind of like in the program, I'm like, I feel like it's going to be way too much to try to coach up and try to implement that into a 60-minute block. So I decided not to go and throw those in there. I was like, we'll just go and go with power cleans. I know a lot of people like power cleans, and we haven't done those in a little while. And so what we'll do those on Wednesday as well, working up to a heavy single on the power clean. And really with these things, we're going to just try to build volume at decent percentages.
Okay.
Right, so I believe the first week is like every 45 seconds for 6 minutes. So it's like 8 total reps. You're doing like a rep at like 75 to 80%, right? So moderately toughish way to kind of start off the strength piece. But the idea being is just building more and more volume with those heavier loads on a somewhat structured basis for the class, right? And that's kind of the idea for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Thursday, we'll keep our traditional bodybuilding type-esque movements. So, which I was kind of toying around with a little bit as to what that was going to be.
I like the new Thursday Watts.
Well, Thursday Watts are going to have a little different structure to them as well. We'll kind of talk about that as well. But usually we do more like an upper body center piece during like 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and then we'll go to like more of a lower body kind of piece for the Thursdays. And for this particular strength block, we're actually doing an upper and a lower body thing. So we're doing some prone dumbbell rows, which is essentially all you're going to do is lay flat on a bench. The bench actually should be kind of elevated upon some plates. And you're going to do some dumbbell rows while laying down the bench with your belly. Like, so you're not bench pressing, so your back's not going to be on the bench. Your belly's on the bench and doing rows there. And really the only main reason why you would do a prone dumbbell row compared to like a conventional dumbbell row is just less loading on the spine. You're not having to hinge over and support that load. So like next week, we do have a decent amount of hinging, so I didn't want to make more of the spine having to hold that weight up. And so that's in the prone. So that's the reason why you do a prone down row, is just reduce the amount of hinging that you're doing in an individual week. And plus, it doesn't allow you to really cheat the movement. Sure. You can't really kip it with your upper body. And then secondly, doing some back rack, doing back rack split lunges, not reverse lunges, split lunges. So a split lunge, you would maintain that lunge position, just go straight down and straight back up. You wouldn't actually physically go like feet together, lunge back, step up. It would just, you stay in that lunge position, you go down, and you come back up, and we'll kind of alternate minutes from there. So it's a good accessory movement, because with the front squat, we're doing more anterior building. The split squat's going to be allow the glutes and hamstrings get a little bit more involved to kind of help balance out the whole entire equation a little bit. And like kind of like what you alluded to, Thursday's programming, I'm trying to do a better job of making it feel like a CrossFit-y type workout, mm-hmm, but also still having that layer of Thursday-ness, sure, to it, if that's the best way to put it. I don't know.
Like you said yesterday, it's like if you didn't, maybe you missed Monday, maybe you missed Tuesday, you can still show up on Thursday and get a hell of a workout.
What I don't get, is if somebody misses, let's say somebody comes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday usually, and maybe like on Friday. Say they're a 4-day week.
Okay.
And they normally take Thursdays off. And let's say they maybe miss a Tuesday because of work or something like that. They still don't come on Thursday.
No. Thursday, no matter if they miss a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday is, they're not showing up, dog.
I'm like, what?
I don't understand.
Like, Thursdays are still good workouts, especially the last couple weeks have been
And I think it's just like the stereotypical, like, Thursday is just rest day. It's just
international
like
rest day
workout, right? But like, I don't think, like, the people that do show up on Thursdays that haven't been to a Thursday, or like maybe they just don't show up that often, they get done with workout and they're like, I thought this shit was supposed to be easy. I'm like, it's still a workout.
Dude. It's still a workout, right? It might not be like a Friday fun day workout, sure, but it's still a workout regardless.
And I think it's just because it's a different stimulus than like a normal CrossFit workout,
right? Yeah.
And so you're not feeling just trashed after the workout. You're almost kind of getting like that nice in between of like cardio slash like pumpish like mm-hmm. feeling, you know?
That's kind of the idea behind it. And so
more enjoyable.
I really enjoy it. Yeah. I do every Thursday. And if you haven't came on a Thursday, I definitely recommend you guys
give them a shot. Give them a shot.
Especially if you're somebody who maybe can feel a little burned out by the end of the week by doing too intensive of workouts. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if you switched up your regimen to go Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
sure,
I think would be still a great opportunity for a lot of you guys to where maybe for feeling more beat up during the weeks, that can help kind of counterbalance that a little bit, because even though it's the intensity still there, it's a different type of intensity, mm-hmm. right? And so it'd be like, it's like you doing like a high intense set of like bench press compared to doing like a really high intensity set of like intervals on the bike.
Sure.
It's intense, but it's two different feels. And that's kind of like what Thursday is to a degree, is it's going to feel like just a different layer of intensity, what you normally maybe are used to. So I would highly recommend you guys come on Thursdays if you're not currently doing that. It's a way to change things up a little bit. That I promise you still get a lot of good work in if you're mm-hmm. not doing that already. And obviously we're going to try to do a better job as well with the programming, because I know like you guys in the afternoons you get really slammed with the class sizes. So trying to do our best job programming, not watering down the program,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, because we had this conversation a few weeks ago of find that delicate balance of not watering down the program because of big class sizes, but making sure we're structuring it in a way that can suit big classes, sure. right? But it doesn't feel watered down per se. It doesn't feel like you're getting a less for workout.
You're still getting the same product, just we're figuring our side out, I guess you could say.
Logistics
yeah.
of the programming to make it to where even if we have a class of 25, 28 people, it should be fine to still run without too many hiccups there compared to workouts that are like, all right, we're doing Devilers, wall walks, and rope climbs.
Sure.
Right? Like, that becomes more of a logistic nightmare for a class of 30, right? And so we're just trying to make sure that we're producing a product that can be suitable to a big class sizes, but like I said, you guys don't feel like you're getting a lesser than product. And I actually had a conversation with a girl just a while ago because she's having to move gyms because she's moving.
Okay.
And she was saying she kind of like scoped out the gyms in her little local area, or whatever like that. And she was saying like one of the gyms does like CrossFit Mayhem programming.
Okay.
And she's like, I'm not really too sure about it. It seems like, you know, a little bit different and whatnot. And I was like, well, with most traditional, obviously CrossFit type programs, it's very much obviously hardcore CrossFit, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's going to be overhead squats and squat snatches and, you know,
CrossFit.
Yeah, you're doing like hardcore CrossFit, right? And I think CrossFit's obviously a great program. Obviously, we wouldn't have the name on the building if we didn't think it was like obviously beneficial and good to do, right? But the idea being is that CrossFit is not a 100% perfect program by any means. And so it's not that, you know, my idea, like my recipe to programming is like the only way, because there's obviously
it's a blend.
Well, it's like there's multiple ways to get to the same product at the end of the day. But my recipe and my ingredients that I try to include in a program is something that I feel is a little bit more of a well-rounded program for the general population. You know, it comes to like things like overhead squats and squat snatches. It's like, I just don't know if that's necessarily the best thing for the general public to always do. So that's why we don't really include them as much into our program. But we try to layer in things throughout the weeks that are going to counterbalance all the hardcore CrossFit that we do sometimes and get you a better, well-rounded aspect of fitness overall, right? Because like I said, I think CrossFit does a really good job and bridges the gap most of the way, but it doesn't do it all the way,
yeah.
right? And so trying to do my best as a programmer to completely bridge that gap as best I can, even though it is challenging at times in a 60-minute window, right, with people, because there's definitely some things that a couple things I would still love to program that I don't necessarily think that people would necessarily would like to do always inside of a class, right? And it's tough because you do have people who only come like 2 or 3 days a week. And they still want to come in and feel like they got a good workout in, and they sweat it, and they burn some calories, and they got stronger. And that's ultimately what they care about, right? I don't think people like to do like plyometric work and rotational work and things like that, even though I think it's very beneficial for people to do. I don't necessarily think that everybody wants to do that in a 60-minute class setting if they're only coming 2-3 days a week. And so you do have to kind of strike that balance of writing a program that's full circle, but also a program that people are going to want to come and actually do and enjoy to do is a tough balance to kind of sometimes kind of find as a programmer. So, but I don't know, I just kind of thought I'll throw that in there.
A little bit.
But anything else you want to add into the podcast for the day, Kale?
I don't think so.
No? All right. So, moral of the story is pull your head out of your asses.
That's a good way to look at it.
No, but all serious, like, we want you guys to be here. We want you guys to obviously, you know, make 2024 your best year of fitness and be consistent and everything like that. We want to see you guys here. I think that's obviously one of the big separators of our gym the most is that we actually do give a fuck. We actually do give a fuck if you don't show up or not. We want you guys to be here as much as possible. And so if you do find yourself kind of hitting that wall with motivation or whatever it may be, definitely come back and talk to us, and we can try to go in some depth discussions about, you know, what's going on with you and find ways to get you back into the gym. And remember, strength block starts on Monday. Consistency or everything challenge starts on Monday as well, with the class starting up on Saturday. And then as well as you got Bring Your Friend Week next week, which you're going to start right away.
I just saw you post that.
Yeah, so if you got a friend or family member who's maybe thinking about trying us out, it's a good week for them to come try it out. So if not, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Sweet.